We are grateful to the Lord that he gave us a book so complete as the Bible. And now we continue to take again where we left in the book of Revelation, just for a review to ourselves to see how the book stands. And by the way, if you don't have an outline here in the chapel, Brother Wayne will reach you one outline. If you are in the internet and you want to receive a copy, please send me a note to Gabriel Otero at gabrielotero.org, and I will keep you in a mailing list, and so each time I do a study, I send you the pages that belong to that study, so you have it completed in that way. All right? The key to the book of Revelation, obvious, is chapter 1, verse 19. This wonderful chapter, one who speak about many things, in verse 19, give us God's outline of the book of Revelation. He said, write the things which thou hast seen. That's past. That's the first point in the outline. The second is, and the things which are. That's chapter 2 and chapter 3, the present time. And the things which shall be thereafter. That is the third point in the outline of the book of Revelation. Now, we are in that place. We are in part number 3, which is the things which shall be thereafter. And we talk in chapter 4, in one verse, about the heavenly door. Remember, then we talk in chapter 4, in verse 2 and 3 and 5 and 6, about the heavenly throne, with all the elders and so forth. Then in chapter 4:4, we talk about the 24 elders. And remember, the Bible explained in a marvelous way at the end of the book of Revelation that that's a representation of the Old Testament and New Testament believers. And then we talk about the four beasts in chapter 4, who were four creatures, and they were the guardians of God. And then we concluded in our last study on the marvelous thing on the book of Revelation in chapter 5, where we saw that there was one person who was entitled to open the seals. Now, those seals, I want you to know, are the seals that were there from the time of Daniel, and they were closed. And I want to really enjoy myself to tell you, again, because I hear over the radio that God is doing this, it's opened the seals, but it's given the seals to a man and to open. And I want you to know that anytime you hear something like this, it's almost a blasphemy. Look with me just a second in Revelation 5, and in verse 4, what Revelation 5:4 says. Remember, in chapter 5 is when the throne is there and God has that box with a seal, with the names of every believer, seal, and the will of God sealed there. And in verse 4 said, and I wept much because no man, now the word man over there is no aner, a male is anthropos, no mankind, was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither thereon. So it's just impressive that somebody will say, I am worthy to open these books. Nobody. To the point that in verse 6, we have the Lamb of God. And then in verse 7, look at what happened. And he, the Lamb, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And so that is nothing more and nothing less than Jesus took the book. So no man but Jesus. And then from that on, I explained to you in the previous study, the war between Satan and God to delay the final sealing of our salvation by taking us to heaven and be redeemed forever, start with Satan. And that's from chapter 5 to chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. It is a war between Satan and God. Satan trying to delay the moment of the rapture so that our life cannot be totally redeemed forever in the presence of God. All right, now we come to chapter 6. And in chapter 6 is when the book's going to be opened. By by the end of the day, after so much talking, my voice is obvious going to get hurt. Now, here we are in chapter 6, and I read verse 1 and 2, the two verses of which I read for you. I wrote for you the outline, and I read Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now comes the real battle. The seals are going to be opened. The Bible says in Revelation 6, reading from the King James Bible, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four," the Bible here said beasts, but it's the four creatures, "saying, come and see." Thank you very much. For those in the audience, I'm just drinking a little water. Now, verse 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow," no arrow, just a bow, "and a crown was given to him." This is interesting because it is in a form of a verb in the Greek language that is future. It's not past, it's future. "A crown was granted unto him, and he went for conquering to conquer." So I'm going to, there are two views on these. One is that this is Jesus, and the other view is not that this is Satan, which I endorse. And so let's analyze this detail by detail as we see the first seal open. Because here it's going to show you what kind of Satan we have in front of us. Okay, here we are. Christ now is holding the books in, as a lamb. And according to chapter 6, verse 1, he is opening the seals. All right? So we know that Christ is opening the seals. Now, Christ does not appear in a white horse rider till chapter 19, in verse 11 to 16. So let's go over there. Christ do not appear in a white horse rider until this chapter, chapter 19, and verses 11 to 16. And I'm going to read it so that you will recall the difference between this rider and the next rider. We read in Revelation 19, verse 11, "And I saw heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture deep in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had in his vesture and in his tithe a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of men, both free and bond, both small and great." And so you have here a picture of Christ. You hear the white horse in chapter 6. We're going to refer to this in a minute, but let's go back to chapter 6 and analyze the rider over there. Now, in chapter 19, then Jesus comes from heaven to battle. All right? Now, on his head is no one crown, but you heard there are many, many crowns. And his name, the name of the rider in the white horse in chapter 19, is the Word of God. The Word of God. And there is no weapon in his hand. He has a sword in his mouth. An indication of his conquering is the message of the gospel. Because in the book of Hebrews, the Bible is to be interpreted as a sword. Now, it is very important that you notice these details because there are two pictures, but they are entirely different one from the other, so they don't belong together. Now, if you go back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, the rider has a bow, but no arrow is mentioned. And I saw in Revelation 6, 2, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, but the bow was not loaded. There is no arrow in these bow, at least it's not mentioned. So now the next step that you see there is that a crown will be given to him later. The word for crown, there are three words in the original language. The word for somebody who conquer and is victorious is called Stephanos. And that's the word used here, the word Stephanos. But this is a verb that if I mention what it is, it makes no sense to use. It's called eros, past, indicative form, and so on. But it indicates an action that is going to take place, but you count it as given. And so the Bible said here that he have a bow, and a crown will be assigned to him. A crown of victory will be assigned to him. Now, here is a picture of a brilliant, a strategical, irresistible conqueror, head of the world kingdoms. That's what it is. A crown will be assigned to him, and the Bible said, and he move on, conquering to conquering, moving on, and there was no place that he cannot conquer. Have you read history? I love to read battles in history. I hope you read Napoleon. And Napoleon I was, he said in his book, in his third book, Napoleon I says, I will conquer and conquer like the rider in the white horse. He said, but I will conquer not with the sword of France, but with the word of my mouth. And it's something that Napoleon have read maybe this, and it has been related to this. So I will say that like Napoleon I, he will rise from the ranks. Napoleon was a second officer only in the ranks of his army, and he was raised to be the general in chief and want to conquer the world. He will rise from the ranks until a crown will be given him. In other words, he will not take place. These actions of the man and the white horse will not start moving on until he has authority. This world leader that will take place, he will not move on and exercise the opposition to the king who opened already the seals, and he will try to block Christianity sealing in heaven in the sense of having the great feast and our names redeemed. He will try to do it, and when he received the absolutely power from every nation of the world, that he will be able to develop all of these. In other words, I know this, and I mentioned to you that his triumphs will be due to the skill of diplomacy and not to war, because he have no arrow. And I want to show it to you. And in our next study, we will study entirely Daniel's 70 weeks so that you know how this takes place. But I want to show you a little bit on Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 11, please. And let's look with me in verse 21. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 21. Because you need to be aware of the attack of the enemy. It is not by canyons, it is not by bombs or anything. It is the skill of diplomacy that will involve the entire world in his hand. Look at Daniel 11:21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person. It's not an angel, it's a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peacefully and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, by diplomacy. That's the word. In other words, he will conquer the kingdoms of the world by absolute diplomacy. And this is the moment, this is the picture, this is the instance in which this man is actually moving on. Now, I'm not giving you the time when this happened, but I tell you, this is what John saw is going to happen. The world is going to suffer the consequences of a talker. And he will talk and talk, and he will not make war. He will deal only with diplomacy. That's what he is going to do. Now, what God will send to the world inhabitants, the people who live in the world. How can people believe a lie? I sometimes wonder what happened to America. How can people believe a lie? Well, the Bible explains what happened in 2 Thessalonians. So if we move to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, in verses 9 to 11, you get a glimpse of what I think. Again, I cannot tell you the time because nobody knows the time. But through the centuries, people have said this is Mussolini, this is Hitler. They were wrong because those people use force. We cannot really truthfully from the scripture present, they say, oh, this is going to happen here and this person is this person. You can't do that. But these are the events that you need to be aware of is going to happen. And then you know when that happened, I will tell you this, God is going to camp. Pick up his church and gone and let the world go in a mess. But let me read you what God is going to do with the world in order to believe this guy. Verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, here's the key in verse 11, God shall send them in a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You wonder, how can people believe a lie? I was asking Sunday school class because I have a lot of people with background in Roman Catholicism from Peru, I'm glad the classes from different and each country in South America is different as can be from another country, and the action of the Catholic Church in South America is different as can be from one country to the other. And they were asking me about people believe this, they said, and when we tell them by letters to our family, now look, we send you a Bible, they said, we believe these, they call it in the class, this muñeco. Muñeco is an image or a monument on the wall. They believe this muñeco, they said, you know, and they don't believe the word. Because, why? Because it's a delusion, see. If you ask a person, do you think that this little statue, you pray and the statue will answer, they will say no. So well, then why you pray? Well, we have to do it. See, that's a delusion. God has to get some part of the brain off. And so this is what is going to take place. And is going to this will be the presence of one person that was going to dominate the world. In other words, the white horse plus the rider equals to me to one person, and that person is the Antichrist, the one that is going to be against Christ, the Antichrist. It's going to be built, it's going to be there. The theologians have missed this for a long time, assigned to people, different peoples, a statement, but it is not true. This is the one that is going to oppose the kingdom of God. Now, he will confirm the covenant with the Jewish people according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. If you go back to Daniel in chapter 9 and verse 27, it is amazing that the people thought that the Antichrist was England, when England allowed them to put Israel back in 1945 into the land. I have read literature that people thought that England and America were the Antichrist for allowing Israel to go back to the land. But because they have to be, it is a Gentile that's going to make a deal with the Jew. And the Jew had to be deluded in order to accept the Gentile. And look at verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poor upon the desolate. In other words, this situation of the writer is going to try to make a deal with the Jewish people so that the Jewish nation plus this Gentile world will be one mind. The Jewish world always will be reacted. You will see it later how the Jew will react. They go to get smart, say, this is not right. But there is a trying of the Antichrist to put everything together. So the rise of this white horse rider antedates then the beginning of the 70 weeks of or the 70 years of Daniel. In other words, the 7 weeks of Daniel's, the 70 weeks of Daniel's are there to express to us what is going to happen in this period. But before that, there have to be the rising of one person. So the lesson today in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 is very simple. You look for the rising in the world of one person that do not battle, do not conquer by guns and by missiles. His diplomacy will enchant the world, and the world will follow him. That's what the Bible said. That's what you need to look on it. Not the one who has more weapons, but the one who has more talk. And with his talk, he enchants the world into his very own hand. When that happens, we are very close to the rapture. I believe it with all my heart. That's what happened. So because he has a position of power to make a covenant, he will try to make a covenant with Israel. But finally, he will have to battle with Israel, and that's the end of the entire world. Now, the rapture of the church is at that particular scenario. When I don't know if I can pinpoint, I work in the whole chapter, and I can pinpoint if the rapture comes after the entire horse developed his technique or at the beginning or one sense. But you and I are protected in this way. It's true that the Lord could come anytime he wants to, but he only going to come. He only going to come when the scenario for his coming is ready. And the scenario for his coming is this. There is going to be the raising of a leader that is going to, by manipulation of talk, is going to conquer country after country, and in his heart there is only one thing, is against the church. And the thing that really impressed me is that the church is going to be involved in this, the so-called church. And many people who are in churches who are not sensible to the word of God will try to join this leader. And so the delusion is going to be number one on the church of God. And in the book of Peter, we're going to look on it later on in another studies, it said that the judgment of God will start from the church of God. The church of God is going to leave the word of God away. He is going to salvation. We've seen tonight saved by the blood. No, that will be not really common sense. And so, therefore, the church and the world will look the same. And looks like we lost the battle. At that moment is when God's going to take us. When? I can't pinpoint the schedule. But the Lord is not going to pick up the church until this gentleman is going to come in and take. So God is saying to John in a marvelous way, he's saying to John, now look, come and see this. And I saw, he said, John said, I saw this. In other words, John was like he was seeing the end of the entire world. He saw what God is doing. He's raising a leader just to get those, you know, those people we call it washy-washy. You don't know if it's a believer or not believer. Those people are going to be wiped off. They're going to really follow this person. The person that is not a strong believer will not have really even a chance to resist this and will follow this lie. And looks like the entire world is one person. And then that's when God is coming into the picture for his church. So Revelation chapter 6 and 1 discloses no Christ coming in a white horse conquer. Christ already conquered his people. The seals are the name of every believer that need to be believed, past, present, and future. So there is no jeopardy of believing. What is happening here is that God is saying, here is a little sign I give you. When you see the world all in one accord, woo, raise your antenna. When you see the world in peace, not in war, but in peace. Hitler conquered by war, Napoleon by war. No, it's not like this. It's by talk. When you see that the world is being conquered by a person of great personality and great thing, then watch out. God is moving in. I pray and I take questions. Lord, thank you for giving us a sign. It is covered like in an entire very nutshell, but it's a sign that things will go worse in the world before you take us in. We know it. Help us to trust you all the way to the end. So that our presence with you will be sure. Thank you that our names are sealed in heaven and nobody can remove it. We pray for our children and our children's children, that they'll be aware of your mercy and kindness in spite of the world chaos. In Jesus we pray, amen. Perhaps you